Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
So let's get to our guest, please. Jim Talent, former Missouri Senator, joining us this morning to talk about this. Jim, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm fine. I'm glad to hear you're sheltering in place.
I am sheltering in place. We're like Randy Tobler. He's got the Liberty Lair. I'm trying to decide what to call my home broadcast center here, and we haven't settled on anything yet. We're taking recommendations.
I'll see if I can think of something.
Yeah,
Liberty Lair. That's good. That's taken, though. So
that's taken. I know. I'm kind of stuck there. What's your reaction to how America is reacting to this so far? I mean, I want to obviously get into what the Senate did last night, but the president's polling in terms of support for how he's handled this is really at like 60%, which I thought from Gallup that was a pretty impressive number.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think he's been handling it well. He's been very visible, which is important. And he's been decisive, which is important. I mean, I've done exercises on pandemics, you know, like war games, things. And indecision is seductive, but it's very dangerous. It's especially seductive in this context because there's so much you don't know. So your default sort of consciousness is pushing you to saying, well, let's wait until we know more, but you can't do that. And people rally around the president in times of emergency. I'm not surprised that his numbers are going up. I think he's doing well, and I think people want him to do well.
Yeah, I was listening yesterday. There's a lot of debate over the WHO, how they reacted to this immediately from the perspective of what's going on in China. And then, of course, the WHO guy actually spoke out yesterday, the director. I know I'll never pronounce his name right, Tedros Ghebreyesus. He actually praised what the president's doing. Play cut number six, please.
And the president's commitment, you have already seen it. And the world have seen it. And that kind of leadership is very, very important, the whole of government approach. So I know he's doing all he can.
And I've heard a lot of criticism of the WHO and kind of how they've dealt with issues like this in the past, and certainly this time, because correct me if I'm wrong here, Jim, if you know this to not be true, but as late as mid-January, they were supporting what China was telling the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an open secret for some time that the WHO was largely captured by the Chinese. Now, I want to be careful here. They do a lot of really good work, but we saw it in this. And early in this in particular, they were bending over backwards, let's put it that way, to support Beijing's line. As a matter of fact, it's kind of ironic that this subject comes up because I was planning to co-chair a hearing of the China Commission on the subject of China's activity in international organizations.
Wow.
And they have a pretty concerted and definite plan to try and take over or dominate different international organizations. And they're really focused on the UN. And so, you know, this is not really surprising. Now, again, there's a lot of good data the WHO collects, a lot of good things they do. We have to work with them, but you should take, and, you know, in situations where China's interest is involved, you have to take what they do with a grain of salt.
So what does that say about their role? What do you think this does to their role in the world going forward? I mean, clearly we've seen how they've acted with this pandemic. It's had to have damaged their already hurting economy. There was a time a year ago when you and I would have had a far different conversation about the threat China posed to the U.S. in terms of taking over as the next economic superpower. So certainly people see through that now, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think the last year we've seen they're not 10 feet tall. I also think the administration, and on a very bipartisan basis, because Congress has been very helpful with this, has really shifted our foreign policy in the direction of dealing with the competition with China. In other words, that's our priority in terms of foreign policy. And we've done a lot of really effective things. So we're seeing we're not everything that they would like the world to believe that they are. But that's a generational challenge. I mean, after this disease has been dealt with, we're still going to be dealing with the competition on a lot of different fronts and in a lot of different domains with China.
Yeah, well, I hope that people start to see through it. Here at home, Jim, I'm going to get Roy Blunt on here coming up at the bottom of the hour, anxious to kind of pick his brain over the foot dragging that's happened this week. But you know how the sausage is made because you spent a lot of years there. What's your take
making
on
it.
This CARES Act?
I think the House is going to pass it. You know, the House leadership had one of two options, really. If they wanted to participate personally in what this bill was going to say, they needed to be part of these negotiations. I mean, to call McConnell and Schumer and the president's people up a couple weeks ago and say, look, we're going to sit in on these discussions because we're going to pass whatever the Senate passes, right?
Right.
If you don't do that in this circumstance, you really have to take the Senate bill because the alternative is to go to a conference committee. And that's going to take a lot, and then rehash everything. And I just think in this context, it's impossible, and it would disturb the public interest. So I think they're going to pass it. I kind of think the Speaker realized that like two-thirds of the way through the process and said, you know, started calling Schumer up and saying, no, you got to do this and this and this. And Schumer made the mistake of trying to negotiate on her behalf. He should have told her, look, if you wanted to be part of this, you needed to say so from the beginning because, you know, the train's leaving the station. And you decided not to be on it. And I predicted that when this broke, when Schumer was trying to, you know, to get some of the House agenda into the bill, I said, no, he's going to have to back off of that. And he did.
So it's interesting that you say that because my thought process this morning is there have been quotes from Nancy Pelosi saying, well, unanimous consent is out of the question. My members need 24 hours to look at this before they consider voting on it, which I'm thinking she's probably looking for another way to leverage something else she wants. But what you're saying is if this goes to conference, it delays it by what, another week?
Well, you can do a conference committee pretty quickly, but in a bill of this size, if they have not been doing what's called pre-conferencing it, in other words, anticipating what's going to come out of one body and beginning to work on the, you know, on the issues that divide the two houses, it can take quite a long time. If they're serious about it, sure, it's a huge bill. And the leaders of the House conference are going to have, if you're going to start that process, they're going to have their input, right? Either take the bill or you go to the process that allows your House to have a formal input. And, you know, she didn't, you know, she, in this context, if she had wanted to do that, they needed to be at that table. And evidently they weren't. And now she's got a problem because she wants to pass it with unanimous consent, which means exactly what it says. It means if somebody goes down to that floor and stands up and says, I object, the bill doesn't pass. And then you have to go to a different process. Now, in the House, they can do things very quickly, but that would be very embarrassing. So she's trying to figure out, because she's getting pressure, now you're at the mercy of everybody in the caucus, right?
Sure.
So I think they'll figure out a way to do it, but it's it could take a little bit of time.
You know, the average American sits at home, people who've never maybe ever been elected to an office, specifically the Congress, and they think to themselves, how do things like this happen? How do you get a bill that's a $2 trillion spending bill, and then you find out afterwards that it's got, you know, an extra $100 million in it for the Kennedy Center? I think maybe it's only $25 million, but it's got an extra $25 million in it for a theater company in Washington, D.C. And you sit back and you scratch your head and you think to yourself, how can anybody think that's what we needed at a time like this?
Yeah, well, often what will happen is if people want to rush a bill like this through, they create an artificial sense of crisis to keep people from looking at it. Okay, this is one of these rare instances when there's a real crisis, right? When they do have to move quickly. Now, I take some comfort as an American in the fact that people like Pat Toomey were at that table. I mean, a lot of people were at that table who have the same sensitivities about this that you and I do. And so I think the bill is going to be a lot better than it otherwise would be because of that. But I warned my wife. We were out walking the dog yesterday and maintaining social distance.
Yes.
And I said to her, we're going to be finding out for weeks to come things in this bill where we shake our head, okay, because somebody got something put in that most people would not have voted for. But I said, if I was still there, I would vote for it because I think right now we need this. I think the economy needs it. I think people need assurance. There's relief in here for people who have been laid off. There's relief for small businesses who basically had their property, you know, taken in the sense that the government has forced them to shut down, right? This isn't a pork barrel in that sense kind of thing. So this is one of these things where, you know, you have to go ahead and vote, understanding that there are going to be things in here you don't like. I think as a whole, from what I can tell, it's a pretty good effort. I think the Senate has done a pretty good job, and they've been working on it, and a lot of smart people and a lot of good people, too, have been working on it.
Well, I hope so, because I went to the actual text this morning. There are 880 pages of it, so there's no way I could have gotten through all of it.
No.
But I've scanned it. And it's honestly like reading a legal textbook. If you don't have a legal background or you haven't been up there when one of these is being put together, the notwithstandings and all the words that are thrown in, it's really hard to follow what it does and what it doesn't do if you don't have a trained eye.
That's right. And normally what would happen here is that everybody who has an interest, whether we would agree with their interest or not, is watching the bill as it moves through its various stages. And they're watching it personally, and they have staff watching for the things that they're concerned about. And you would have a lot of people like Pat, Senator Blunt, who you're going to have on, is on the Appropriations Committee, and they would be watching the thing and having their staff check out everything. Okay, now, under these circumstances, and particularly given that people are sheltering too. In other words, it's their movements and ability to participate have been inhibited a little bit. There's less of that process going forward. But this is one of these instances, and part of being a good member of Congress or a senator is knowing, you know, when you have to just make a judgment and go with it. I think that's been the administration's attitude. I mean, they were all over this, and they would normally be watching all that sort of thing, and I'm sure they were. But they're trying to get this done for the broader benefit of the people. And like I said, if I was there, I would vote for it, and I would get on the line with people like you, and I would say, here's why I voted for it. I think it's really important. But look, we're still ferreting through it to see what's in it, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Everyone is at 880 pages, and that's just what we've kind of come to expect out of Washington these days. Listen,
yeah.
Jim, I appreciate your thoughts on this and helping us kind of understand it all. Thank you.
Yeah, and everybody take care there and keep calm, carry on. There's some good things happening around the world. I'll just leave you with this thought because it's a little bit optimistic, okay? So I've participated in a lot of this stuff, and I've been working with these issues for a long time. But one thing we don't know is what happens when the life science resources of the whole world are focused on one set of problems,
yes.
Okay? And I am hopeful that in some of these areas, therapeutics and testing, et cetera, we may get some real breakthroughs and game changers and pretty quickly. And that could have a major impact on the disease. So keep a good thought, everybody. You know, we're going to make it through this.
Well said. Jim, thank you for your time.
Get more at 971talk.com.